On tonight's program, we'll take a look at humble submission and we'll read the Mass readings from today's Mass. Stay right where you are. Here we go. Hey there, come on in. Make yourself at home. My name is Gary Zimak. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, so we will be looking at some great material from The Imitation of Christ, a classic book by Thomas A. Kempis. Today we're going to be discussing the idea of humble submission. That is, honestly, in today's world, that is something that is frowned upon, submitting to anyone or anything. And in humility, these are looked at often as signs of weakness. But yet, if we truly want to follow Christ in our lives, humility is important. It's critical. We need to learn to be humble. You look at Jesus Christ, what he did when he came from heaven, who became one of us. He lowered himself. You don't get much more humble than that. When you die on a cross like he did, it's inconceivable that we can get any more humble than that. If we look at the life of our Blessed Mother, she was very humble as well. So if we truly want to get to heaven, if we want to follow the Lord in this life, we need to learn humility. Humility is a tough thing to learn, though. Because when you pray for humility, you know what happens. That's right. You get humiliated because we need that. So it's a tough thing to pray for, but it's essential. So it's critical that we talk about it. We will do that on the program today. We'll view what Thomas A. Kempis had to say about this idea of being humble. We'll also read the Mass readings for Tuesday of the 30th week in Ordinary Time. That's all ahead on the program. I want to give a little shout out to my daughters, Mary and Elizabeth, on their 18th birthday. I mentioned a little bit about the girls on the program yesterday. In 1997, we were told that the girls would not, a very good chance that they would not be born alive, but God had other ideas. And praise God that they were born alive. They were born 3 months premature. They had some challenges in those first few months, and actually the challenges lasted for a few years. But thanks be to God, they are healthy, and we're so blessed to have them in our lives. So we're very grateful. Eileen and I are very grateful for our daughters, Mary and Elizabeth, today on their 18th birthday. If you wouldn't mind saying a prayer for them, I'd really appreciate that. Let's see what good things we have coming up. I really can't think of any big news. I've got some appearances coming up in the next few weeks and over the next few months, actually, including a trip to New Mexico and a trip to the Lafayette, Louisiana area. I'll be up in North Jersey to give a talk one night. All of the details for my upcoming appearances can be found on my website, followingthetruth.com. If you would like me to bring me, if you would like to bring me to your parish to speak, I would love to do it. Please just contact me. Let me know the dates that you are interested in. Right now, I'm booking for 2016. I just booked a parish mission for Maryland next February, I believe it is. I have to double check on that. But I'll give you more information as we go forward. In the upcoming months, I'm headed to Nebraska. I'm heading to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Fort Worth, Texas. And I'm trying to think of there are some other dates, but I can't remember what they are offhand. But I really would like to visit your parish or your conference, too. So please let me know. Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. You can find out more information about the work that I do by visiting followingthetruth.com. In December, we will be filming some of the parish mission that I'll be giving in Carancro, Louisiana, which is in the Diocese of Lafayette. And eventually that'll be on the internet, and it will be also offered as a DVD. So if you're interested in seeing what it is that I do when I come out and speak at parishes, that's going to be available within the next couple of months. So stay tuned. I'll let you know when that happens. And also I want to make you aware that in early 2016, I will have another book coming out. It's called Find a Real Friend in Jesus, 10 Amazingly Easy Steps that will help you to have a greater friendship with Christ. That's coming. And later in the year, I believe in the fall, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, a daily biblical devotional for warriors. That's coming from Matthew Kelly's Beacon Publishing. Lots of good stuff coming up, and I'm excited to be able to work for the Lord. And I will keep you informed of what's going on. Just make sure you get on my mailing list, which you can do right at my website, followingthetruth.com. Just provide your email address, and I think it asks for your name, even though I don't even think the name is necessary, but you need to give me your email address, obviously, and I'll keep you posted. I try to send a newsletter out once each month. I don't always succeed. I am a little overdue. I have to try to get the October one out before October is finished, so I don't know if that's going to happen, but you will get a newsletter soon. The reason I tell you this is I want to make sure you understand I'm not going to inundate you with excessive emails. I don't do that. I just like to get the information out whenever I can, but it's always a good idea to get on the list so that if I need to get in touch with you, I need to let you know of some upcoming news, I know how to do that, okay? Today's beverage du jour, it's a cup of Maxwell House coffee. Good stuff. And by the way, if you're interested in getting yourself some great coffee, I'm out of stock, but I need to get myself a supply. Mystic Monk coffee is the greatest coffee that you will ever drink. This is brewed by real monks, passionate for fine coffee. You can find out more information about Mystic Monk coffee by visiting my website, followingthetruth.com, and clicking on the Mystic Monk image. That's Mystic Monk coffee. Honestly, the greatest coffee that you will ever drink, boy. All right, how about if we pray before I get myself into any further trouble here on the program? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for giving us another day to know you, to love you, and to serve you. Father, we're very grateful for the many blessings that you give us each day. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the gift of our faith. We thank you for opening up your heavenly kingdom to us, and we thank you for allowing us to be your adopted sons and daughters. Father, please help those who are sick, those who are lonely, those who are anxious, those who are struggling with doubt or despair, those who may be facing financial difficulty, those who may be battling addiction, those who are suffering from religious persecution, and those who are dealing with any kind of an extreme weather condition. We ask you to help them all with their problems, to allow them to feel your peace. And we're also grateful, Father, for the fact that the death toll in the largest hurricane ever recorded, Hurricane Patricia, which struck Mexico, was a big fat zero. So, Father, we thank you for protecting all of our Mexican brothers and sisters. We know that ultimately you are in charge of all weather. So we thank you for that great gift. Father, I ask you to take over this program for me. I turn it over to you, and I ask you to speak through me this day. Please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to whatever message that you have for us on the show today. And we ask you also, Father, to take all of our personal intentions and help us in the best way possible. We ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. We turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her prayers now, as together we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, I want to thank you for praying with me. I want to thank you for tuning into the program. And I hope you understand just how much it means to me that you join me each night on the show. I am so grateful for your presence here. I'm grateful for your financial contributions. I'm grateful for your emails. I'm grateful for your prayers. I'm grateful for the fact that you're sharing the news of this program with your friends. I really am. You are such a great blessing to me, and I'm so privileged to be able to do this show. I love doing this program. This program not only hopefully will bring you closer to Jesus Christ, but it brings me closer to Jesus because I get to reflect on all of these great readings, on all of these great books that I'm using on the show. That's what it's all about. That's how we grow closer to Christ. And it really does help me. And your friendship helps me. And I'm just so thankful to have you as a listener and as a financial supporter, as a prayer warrior. Whatever you may be doing, thank you so much. Please continue to keep me in your prayers. I'll do the same for you. Let people know that this show exists, because word of mouth is very powerful. I want to make sure that we get this message to as many listeners as possible, so that in this 30-minute podcast, we can try to win souls for Christ. Amen? All right, let's take a look at the readings now. Tuesday of the 30th week in Ordinary Time, so we're 4 weeks away from the end of the church year, or the liturgical year, and then we'll begin a new church year with the season of Advent. So yes, believe it or not, we are 4 weeks away from the start of Advent. I mean, that's almost mind-boggling, but it is really true. Today's first reading, once again, as it has been for the past several days, is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. Today we're reading from chapter 8, verses 18 through 25. Brothers and sisters, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed for us. For creation awaits with eager expectation the revelation of the children of God. For creation was made subject to futility, not of its own accord, but because of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself would be set free from slavery to corruption and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that all creation is groaning in labor pains even until now, and not only that, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan within ourselves as we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies, for in hope we were saved. Now hope that sees for itself is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait with endurance. Boy, there are some great messages in this first reading today. Who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait with endurance. So much of our faith is unseen. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's challenging, isn't it? It's not easy to walk by faith, especially if we're used to seeing things with our eyes, touching with our hands, hearing with our ears. So much of faith is internal. We see through the eyes of faith, not with our biological eyes. And that can be a real problem for many of us. That's why it is a challenge. But fortunately, the Lord gives us faith, hope, charity when we're baptized. These gifts, theological virtues that are given to us, they help us to be able to believe in what we really can't verify with our eyes. Now, every now and then, I've told the story, I mentioned it at the beginning of the program and yesterday, about the fact that my girls, Mary and Elizabeth, were not supposed to be born alive, but God had another plan, and he let us be able to witness a miracle. Many times when this happens, many times when this happens in our lives, we see a miracle, and what happens is our faith becomes strengthened, and the Lord knows this. That is part of his mercy. That is part of his great, wonderful compassion to us, because he realizes that we have trouble perceiving the unseen. So what happens is that he enables us to see miracles in our lives. And this allows us to believe. It increases our faith because of these miracles. It's all because of his compassion. If we look at the beautiful miracles that we see around us each day, a lot of them we ignore, but these miracles can strengthen our faith. We need to make sure that we're giving God the credit for doing what he's doing. And that's an incredible gift. Creation awaits with eager expectation the revelation of the children of God. Creation was made subject to futility in hope that creation itself would be set free from slavery to corruption and share the glorious freedom of the children of God. We all have this choice to make, to either follow the Lord in our lives or follow the flesh, follow the desires, the passions of the body. You're listening to the show. There's a very good chance that you're on the right track. Praise the Lord for that. Let's keep at it, because we can all backslide. We really can. It's very possible for any of us to backslide and to head in the wrong direction. So each day we seek the Lord and we try to do His will. If we accept the grace that He gives us and cooperate with that grace, we're going to be fine. But it really is a daily struggle. It's something we want to focus on every day of our lives. The responsorial psalm today is from Psalm 126. The Lord has done marvels for us. When the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, we were like men dreaming, that our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with rejoicing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad indeed. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the torrents in the southern desert. Those that sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. Although they go forth weeping, carrying the seed to be sown, they shall come back rejoicing, carrying their sheaves. In life, there are struggles. Right? I mean, there's no doubt about it. There are struggles. We all face difficulties. Life can be very challenging. But the good thing is, you and I, we're never in it alone. We're the Lord is with us every day. It is a challenge for me, even as a full-time Catholic lay evangelist, to concentrate on the Lord throughout the day. I mean, I do a lot. I do a lot of writing. I make sure I pray. I go to Mass in the morning. But there are times when I have to work at seeing Him. I have to work at seeing Him in the everyday occurrences. It's a challenge. But it's certainly a challenge that is worth the effort. We need to make this effort to see Him in nature, to see Him in the occurrences, the things that happen to us, even if they're not pleasant. Because that is the only way that we'll truly be able to recognize the fact that we live in the presence of the Lord. He's there. My recognition of Him doesn't change anything. He's always going to be there. What it changes is my perception. And if I recognize Him, if I'm aware of His presence, then I'm going to turn to Him. If I forget about Him, I'm going to forget to turn to Him. That's the thing. That's the challenge. It's the challenge of life in the flesh. We are bombarded with a series of distractions every day. We've got to work at our relationship with the Lord. But if anything in life is important to us, we'll find the time to do it. That's why for years I said I didn't have time to pray. It was a big cop-out. It means that I didn't care about the Lord that much. No matter what I said, I didn't care about Him, because if I cared, I would find the time. So if we care about a relationship with Christ, we have to make the time for that relationship. Let's look at the gospel today, Luke chapter 13, verses 18 through 21. Pretty short gospel today, but it's a good one. Jesus said, "What is the kingdom of God like? To what can I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that a man took and planted in the garden. When it was fully grown, it became a large bush, and the birds of the sky dwelt in its branches." Again, he said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like the yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch of dough was leavened." I mean, again, you know, this is a very short gospel, but it's a reminder for us that the kingdom of God starts out very small. If we look at how the kingdom of God spread, Jesus, when he first began his public ministry, he announced, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." This was Mark, I think it was chapter 1, verse 15. We could see the first recorded words of Jesus in the gospel of Mark are those. "The kingdom of God is at hand. I am here. My ministry is public. Let's go." And eventually, after Jesus was crucified, he died, was buried, rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven. At that point, the apostles were given the task, the Great Commission it's called, to go out and spread the good news, baptize people, and share everything I taught you. This was what Jesus said. And over the years, the apostles appointed bishops, and those bishops appointed other bishops, and eventually the church grew, and missionaries went out and preached the good news to every imaginable area of the world. And that's how the kingdom is growing, little by little. But you and I play a part in that, or should play a part in that, because we're called as members of the church to go out and to evangelize. And we've got to work on that. We've got to work on that and make sure that we're doing that, because the Lord has decided that he wants us to be involved. That's a real great blessing. But this is how the kingdom of God spreads. And I think sometimes we get a little frustrated and we think, well, I'm just one person, what can I do? But your one thing is an important contribution. If we all do that one little thing, whatever it is that we can do, and can reach those people around us, we're going to reach a lot of people. Not just me, but you and everybody else. If everybody's reaching the people around them and talking about Jesus and imitating him. You know, today's show is called Imitating Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. Do we imitate Jesus in our daily lives? Are we loving those around us? Are we being kind? Are we loving the Lord through the people around us? I mean, this is what we do. Are we teaching people the good news with our actions and with our words? We do that, and this is how the kingdom of heaven grows. Let's talk a little bit about humble submission. Now, by the way, if you have any questions on the readings, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. On humble submission, The Imitation of Christ, the classic book by Thomas A. Kempis. The version that I use is by the Catholic Book Publishing Company. I can't tell you how many times I've read this book. I've read it on the air for several years now, and I'm going to keep reading it because it is phenomenal, and it knocks me on my rear end every time I read it. And I'm not kidding you. There is some good stuff here. We're looking at humble submission. And again, I said at the beginning of the show, it's not too popular to be humble nowadays. It's not too humble to submit. I can't submit. I need to be powerful. I need to be strong. Well, humble submission, when you submit humbly to the Lord's will, and maybe to those people who are your superiors, your boss, if you're a child, maybe to your parents, whoever. You do that, you are imitating Christ. Let me stop talking about it. Let's read what Thomas A. Kempis has to say about this. Do not be concerned about who is on your side or who is against you. Just be sure that God is with you. If your conscience is clear, be sure that he will defend you. The malice of others can never harm you as long as he is by your side. Now, we talked about conscience briefly on the program last night. Conscience is what we use to decide what's right and what's wrong. And the idea of a conscience being clear, meaning that I'm doing the right thing. If I'm doing the right thing, and this is where he's going with this, I shouldn't care that somebody's accusing me of something unfounded. But yet we feel that we need to fight against those who criticize us unfairly. Let me read on and then we'll talk about it. Be silent and endure for a while, and you will experience the help of God in your need. No doubt about it. For God knows when and how to deliver you. So put yourself in his care. It is up to God to help and to deliver from all dilemmas. Therefore, we should realize that often it is good for others to know our defects and call us to order for them, for it keeps us humble. When you admit your faults, you easily pacify others and reconcile yourselves with those you have offended. God never refuses the humble. Rather, he delivers and comforts them and fills them with his grace. He also opens to them the secrets of his heart and draws them to himself. raising them to the heights of glory because of their humility. Humble people are always at peace, even when they are put to shame, because they trust in God and not in the world. So if you wish to reach the height of perfection, never think of yourself as being virtuous until you know sincerely in your heart that you are the least of all. Now let's talk about this, because that's the material for today. But I want to talk about this because I think that we can be we can miss the point here. We could go too far in the wrong direction. Here's what I would say. There's going to come a time in life where you're accused of doing something. Somebody may doubt your motives. And I have to sympathize with you if you are going through this, because I've been there, and it's a very difficult thing to go through when somebody questions your intention. Why are you doing this? You're just doing this because you want attention. You're just doing this because you have some sort of a motive, when in reality, you're doing it for the right reason. You're trying to help somebody. And I've been in a position where I did try to help somebody. It was one occasion that comes to mind is that when I was a manager, I had somebody working for me. When I was working as a project manager, I had somebody who was working for me, and this person really turned on me, even though I was trying to help them. I'm not sure what happened, but it was a frustrating situation. They didn't appreciate me helping them. They thought I was out to get them, and I wasn't. I was trying to do the right thing. But I realized that it was an unwinnable situation, and I still continue to pray for this person whenever I can remember, because it's not something that was, it was not something that was very easy for me to accept. If you're trying to help somebody and they think that you're out to get them, that's not a very fun thing to go through. And that'll happen sometimes. You try to do somebody a favor and they think you're criticizing them and they get angry with you. That's hard. In those cases, I mean, you could explain yourself, and then you reach a point where sometimes the explanation doesn't do any good. They don't believe you. You know, you can always turn to the Lord because He knows exactly what your intentions were. So I think Thomas Akempis is trying to get us to not feel bad if we are unjustly accused. Well, certainly Jesus was. But that doesn't mean that we can never defend ourselves. I'm not prepared to be that extreme, because I don't think that's good. There are times when you need to offer an explanation. Well, here's why I did what I did. But when that doesn't work, it's then you could turn to the Lord and say, Lord, you could read my heart. You know why I did what I did. And remember, he mentioned, Thomas Akempis in that little explanation today mentioned, as long as your conscience is clear, then you're okay. You can, again, you can try to defend yourself, because sometimes that's necessary. It's necessary for the people to know why you did what you did. But if they don't believe you, or if your explanation causes more harm, then there might be a time when you have to just turn to the Lord and say, Lord, you understand me. And what happens is that draws you closer to the Lord, really, because he was unjustly accused. So he gets fact that you went through this. We don't want to get into a position where we need to be right, because that's pride. I need to be right just because I want to show this person that I'm right. That's a problem. But yet we all sometimes fall into that. We think, they're not going to tell me I'm wrong. I know I'm right. I'm going to show them. And then it can escalate. Before you know it, we're committing a sin. Never a good thing. So humility is a good practice. And to submit sometimes when the conditions are right, even when you might be unjustly accused. Know that you're imitating Jesus. But that doesn't mean you can't offer an explanation in defense of yourself. It's a little bit tricky, and I don't want to go so far as to say never offer an excuse. Well, sometimes I think it's valid to make an excuse, but try to keep that proper disposition if you can. Now, I want to thank you for tuning into the program today. God willing, I'll be back tomorrow night, and we will talk about our daily bread. This is the segment we do every Wednesday, some advice for living a Christ-like life. The show won't be the same without you, so I hope you'll be able to tune in. Thanks again. God bless you. Have a wonderful night, and I look forward to being with you next time.